Hello, hello, hello again. This is the one and only Michael Smith, aka Flex Up Mike at Instagram, also at Twitter. Checking in. This is Flex Your Thoughts, episode number 5. Episode number 5, we're actually coming from the beautiful Costa Rica, San Jose, Costa Rica to be exact. So, just want to let you know you can follow us at _FlexUp. That's both on Instagram and Twitter. And like I said earlier, you can follow me at FlexUpMike at Instagram and Twitter as well. The different platforms that you can actually follow us from is Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Stitcher. So, you know, we're doing pretty well. So if you have any of those platforms, please follow us. Spotify, please follow us. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for those that have listened so far. And hopefully I give enough knowledge where you can actually apply it to your life. But every day we're going to continue to learn and continue to grow. And on every Wednesday, what I have learned throughout the week, I'll make sure to share it with you. So just to go through a couple of updates right now. If you go on the website, www.flexup.com, we actually have a new look going in for February. We have our Valentine's Day sweaters coming out. And next week, we'll also be having our Valentine's Day leggings coming out. So be on the lookout for that. We'll definitely give the shout out on both Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Both my personal page, both my partner's Neil personal page as well. And also the main page, we'll be actually giving a shout out. So please be on the lookout for that. Now, the focus of the podcast is surrounded by the four pillars of life, which is health, wealth, love, and happiness. Today, we're going to focus on health. As you have been listening, the last four episodes has been focused around health. But today, we're going to go a little bit deeper and actually focus on mental health and the importance of disconnecting as a business owner. Now, I have mentioned that I am in San Jose, Costa Rica, and I believe it's very important to actually change up your routine. Now, when I say disconnect, I mean taking a mental break from your everyday routine. Typically, the average person routine is you get up, you shower, you eat, you travel an average of 15 to 45 minutes to work. You exchange your valuable time for an hourly rate you know you're getting underpaid for. You clock out, you get back in traffic, but this time it takes around 45 to 75 minutes to get home. You get home, you cook, you shower, then you rest. Now, you do this for about 30 to 35 years, and the crazy part is that this is someone's schedule that's just single. We're not including people that actually have kids. We're not actually including people that are married, etc. So this is just the average lifestyle of a single individual. So think about this. So let's say you actually see the bigger picture and you step out the matrix and you decide to be a business owner. Now, instead of doing 40 hours a week, you're doing 80 hours. Now, I was told a long time ago, you're either built for this or you're not. So either you're aiming for the lifestyle or you're not aiming for the lifestyle, which leads me to my first guest. This is officially my first guest of the podcast on episode 5. He goes by the name of Raj. He's a dear friend of mine that has mastered the importance of disconnecting. And just want to give you a brief introduction of Raj. What he does is he owns multiple restaurants. He owns multiple hotels. He's actually involved in the political atmosphere, both in his local government and also the actual state government in Georgia. A dear friend of mine I've known for several years now, and I actually have the honor of having him as my first guest. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Raj. So Raj, how you doing, my friend?
Great. It's great to be here in Costa Rica. And I'm honored to be your first guest on this podcast. You guys are doing a lot of good things. giving people a lot of things to think about. And, I'm really excited to be here today.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. And, I have several questions to ask you. And, you don't have to get too personal. Just give, the best answer that you can. And, wherever you feel like sharing, please share. So question number one is, when you hear the word disconnect, what does that mean to you?
Disconnect, when it in terms of a business owner, is for me, it's to just give yourself a break, to be able to get away from that fast-paced work life and give yourself a mental break, and be able to just just free yourself, whether it be meditate, whether it be go out and do some extracurricular things like go to ball games or whatever it may be, hang out with friends. All it does is it takes you away from that everyday rigorous business owning, managing, and the buck stops with you lifestyle. So the good thing is that it's needed, or else people would go crazy. But again, you also want to be the one that works harder than everybody, because you don't ever want anybody to outwork you.
Okay. So being an owner of several brick and mortars, how do you trust that the brick and mortar won't be up in flames when you get back in town?
So you have a training process, of course, when you bring people on and you entrust them in running your business. You have to give them the proper resources, you got to give them the proper tools, and you got to give them the proper training. If you follow those three things, and you know that they're ready to take on the responsibility of running your business, then you allow them to do so. You allow them to fail sometimes, so that you can come back and tell them what they did wrong and how they can correct it. And that's how you build leaders. I think a business owner fails to sometimes think that they should look down on their employees. Instead, they should be uplifting them so that they could also be leaders and use this as a stepping stone to flourish in their lives.
Okay, great. Now, how often do you travel?
I try to travel, take a small trip every single month, whether it just be going an hour away to Asheville, North Carolina, a couple hours away to Asheville, North Carolina, or Augusta, or whatever it may be, just nearby. Try to do that every month. Yeah, it doesn't work out all the time due to work schedules and whatever it may be, but that's the goal. And every December, I always take December and half of January off to go out of the country, and I've been doing that for the last 10 to 12 years. And what that does is, not only do you get away from the cold weather here in America and you go to somewhere where it's warmer, but it also gives you that mental break in time to come back to have the next year start back over. So, and we have been doing it for a long time. Me and my wife have taken these trips for as long as we've been married. And previous to that, I was doing it as a single, man for, 5-6 years prior to me getting married.
Okay. Now, what is your best place to go to disconnect?
The best place, I would say, Michael, we've taken a few of these together. The best place that I really enjoy doing is taking a cruise. Taking 4 to 5 days, going on a cruise where you don't have to worry about, where you're going to eat, what shows you're going to go watch, where you're going to stay. It's all in one. You just kind of show up and everything is in line for you. You don't have to worry about anything. That's a true worry-free trip. And, usually we take about a couple of those a year. And so I would say it's probably taking a cruise.
Okay. Now, why is it important to have the work-life balance? And this is a double question. How has that contributed to your success?
So when it comes to work-life, I honestly, and even working with you, I'll even challenge you. I challenge anybody to work harder than I do, because I feel like if I'm going 150 miles an hour when I'm working and giving it my all and giving what my businesses and whatever other ventures that I decide to do, give it my all, then if I fail, I could say I gave it my all. But, you know, the success comes with not accepting failure. If you don't accept failure, and that is not part of your, you know, motif, then you will succeed. You will succeed. And so, you know, like I would say that basically that is what's driven my success. And also, you know, and that's how I balance it, is because I'm able to take time off and, you know, free myself. And when I do take time off, I try to keep the business to a limit. You know, if it's emergencies, I only attend to emergencies. I trust the people I put in place when I'm not there.
Mm. Now, in order to be a successful person, what type of person do you have to be?
You got to be a go-getter. And not only do you got to be a go-getter, but you got to be, nowadays with the millennials and all, you got to be innovative. You got to bring something to the table that's a disruptor. In the business world, they call it a disruptor. You got to be different than anybody else. And then once you have it, you got to go full steam in the right manner, and you got to work harder than anybody that you can imagine. Like, if you feel like somebody, if you go to sleep at night knowing and being okay with somebody outworked you, then you're not working hard enough. You continue to work harder than the next guy. Look, if he or she can work harder than you, then that means you can work harder than them. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's the way I feel. I mean, like, you should give it your all. And when you're on, when the light switch is on, you should be 150 miles an hour. When you turn it off, turn it off.
Mm. Great. Thank you for that. Now, what other things do you do to disconnect from your everyday routine?
You know, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've joined a bowling league, and every Thursday night I go and bowl, you know, and I've been, you know, the competitive juices in me, they go to that too. They relate to that. So I'll go and I've been bowling with the same team, and we'll go and we'll bowl every Thursday night after work. And then also, you know, I enjoy sporting events. So I will also, you know, I'll get tickets to the Hawks game or the Braves game or the Falcons game. And, you know, what I do is, because I have that competitive edge and I love to be competitive, like, I look for things, even when I disconnect, that are in a competitive aspect, whether it be sporting or you know, activities that I do outside. So, yeah, I mean, just keeping those competitive juices flowing, even when your, you know, business light switch is off.
All righty. Now, this last question is a question that I will be asking every guest that comes on the podcast. And the question is this: when you hear the word flex up, what does that mean to you?
When I hear the word flex up, I honestly think that it's a lifestyle brand. Okay? Flex up to me is like a lifestyle that you want to take on. And that is to, whether it be weight loss, whether it be, you know, getting toned, whether it be, you know, you know, coming up with just a workout regimen to be healthy. You know, flex up to me should be something that whatever avenue you decide to do, you give it your all and you live up to it. Mm. In terms, flex up to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, those are pretty much all the actual questions I have for you today. I appreciate you, your time. And, you know, hopefully in the near future, if you want to come on again, and, you know, we'll talk different things like that.
Let me leave you with one thing. Success is measured by the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Okay? So success may mean that you make ends meet and not have to worry about being in the negative every month for your family. Mm-hmm. Success may mean that you're one of the richest people in the world. To me, success is whenever you reach a point in your life where you can go out and help somebody else also flourish. That's success to
That's
me.
True success.
So if you could get to a point where in your maturation as a human being, as a business owner, as, you know, and you're able to be okay financially to where you can go and help someone else, that is true success to me.
And that's excellent. You know, that's something that, you know, I appreciate you being as a dear friend, you know, almost like a brother, that you always stayed hard on me and you always encouraged me to just try to be the best person I could be. Surround yourself with the best people so you can achieve all your goals as well. And, you know, that is something that, you know, I stay indebted to you and, you know, thank you for that as well. Now, going forward, I'll be leaving you with a tip I believe that is beneficial and nourishing to your mind and body. And I'll be reading excerpts from the following book. The book is called Food, Your Miracle Medicine, How Food Can Prevent and Cure Over 100 Symptoms and Problems, based on more than 10,000 scientific studies. And this is created by Gene Carper. Now, the interesting is about this is my dear friend Raj has actually given me this book. He said, hey, Mike, you know, I see what you're trying to do. I think this book would be beneficial to your plan and, you know, going forward. And I've read, you know, some of it, but what I would like to do is try to read it as the podcast goes along, and whatever excerpts I believe that would be beneficial to everybody that listens, I'll give it to you guys. So first thing first, we're going to start with actually page one. We're going to read page one through three. Now, the title is The Miracle of Food. To most of us, miracle drugs are the brainstorm of pharmaceutical geniuses, magic bullets concocted in a laboratory to cure all ailments, large and small. But many scientists are increasingly engaged in a search for a far different treasure of drugs that were created on this planet millions of years ago. These drugs come from other living creatures and planets. They are stuff we put in our mouths, often unconsciously, every day. These substances, too, are miraculous, awesome in their ability to affect our well-being. In the large scheme of things, the miracles these foods' essence continually perform inside our cells, outside our awareness, and very tiny. But they are major miracles in the lives of cells, changing forever their destiny, and consequently our destiny, with their cumulative effects. Who can say it is not a minor miracle that garlic can cure cancer cells, that substances in spinach can imprison and paralyze the virus that otherwise would cause cervical cancer, that as an obscure compound in asparagus and avocados, intestinal experience stops the proliferation of the virus responsible for the greatest infectious tragedy of our day, AIDS, that cabbage compounds can help detoxify our bodies and of 20th century air pollutants, a job never anticipated at the time of the plant's creation, that compounds spun out by plants to fight off their destruction become angels of mercy inside our bodies to prevent blood clots fermented by a fatty diet out of control, that particles freed by digestion from a fibrous structure and plants can tell our liver to cool down its cholesterol output, that chemicals from the plant kingdom can enter our brains and affect the transmission of messages among neurons, influencing our moods, our memories, our alertness, everything we cherish as distinguishing our humanness. Make no mistake about it. Eating is not a trivial event for the billions upon billions of cells that constitute your being. As scientists, for the first time in human history, have begun to vigorously investigate and appreciate the act of eating of great consequence and communion with nature that promotes life or death. The choice is increasingly ours. A new scientist discovers uncover enormous impact of our everyday diets on our prospects for health and longevity. New research shows that food can restore health and vigor, freeing us from minor discomforts and protecting us from devastating diseases, or it can make us ill and miserable. Food can quicken the brain and lift our mood. It can infuse our brains with spurts of electric energy that makes us think faster and perform better. It can quiet our distress as surely as a prescription tranquilizer can, or it can make us drowsy and play havoc with our concentration. It can pull us out of depression or reduce us to panic. Food can set in progress silent attacks that erode our joints and clog our arteries, and it can help reverse the damage. The type of food we eat as children or young adults may subtly alter our brain chemistry, leaving us in middle age the victims of muscle-destroying multiple sclerosis, or an old age with the tremors of Parkinson's disease. Food can promote apparent activity within cells that years later end up as cancerous growths. Conversely, food can release agents that literally vaporize cancer-causing chemicals or extinguish chain reactions of molecules that roar through our body, ripping apart the membranes of healthy cells, corrupting the genetic good intentions, or leaving them to die, even after abnormal cell growths have emerged on their way to becoming cancer. Food can cause them to shrink or disappear, or when the wandering cells from a breast cancer or are scouting for new places to attach and grow, food emissaries can create a hostile surface that cannot be colonized by cancer cells. Food can also clean the lens of the eye from becoming opaque with cataracts in old age, dilate air passages, easing breathing, rejuvenate cilia, the tiny beating hair wings in the lungs that help wave off emphysema and chronic bronchitis, create substances that cause flare-ups of rheumatoid arthritis or mute the arthritic pain and swelling, trigger headaches and asthma attacks as well as prevent them, increase the stomach's resistance to ulcers, reverse the redness, itching, and pain of psoriasis, stimulate the body to make more natural killing cells, and interferon to ward off infections, attack bacteria and viruses with vigor equal to that of laboratory-made drugs, cure diarrhea in infants and constipation in the elderly, alter immunity, chasing away common colds and hay fever. In heart disease, food is a prime player. Food can set in motion destructive processes that leave arteries narrow and stiff, just right for the formation of blood clots that can cause heart muscles to suffocate and die. Conversely, food can supply a chemical armada that circulates in the blood, disarming the arteries' enemies, and even scrubbing away some of the dangerous handiwork from artery walls. Food can create blood clot solvents, blood thinners, and cholesterol reducers. Food can stimulate insulin release and control blood sugar surges. Food can send hormones to relax artery walls, reducing blood pressure. Food can interfere with the so-called natural processes of aging. Food can contain the body's deterioration. There is hardly a health problem or natural bodily process that is not influenced in some fashion by the substance you put in your mouth. Food is being redefined as powerful medicine you can use in preventing and curtailing diseases of all kinds, and is boosting mental and physical energy, vigor, and well-being. Food is the breakthrough drug of the 21st century. Now, I'll be reading this at the end of all podcasts. I hope what I just read here would, you know, just opens your mind to the curiosity and the actual broad aspect of what food can do and cannot do for you. So, you know, I'm really excited to explore this book with you all. And, you know, let's get, you know, deep into this. And if you want to put in any type of input, you know, please contact us via my social media, Flex Up Mike, both at Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us at _FlexUp. That's on Twitter, Instagram. Please follow, like, share our Facebook page at FlexUp LLC. And I want to thank again, Raj, for joining me on this podcast. We have a lot of updates coming again. When you get a chance, go to www.flexup.com to check out the actual new content and new products that we have up there. We have our Valentine's Day sweaters out now. If you like it, please purchase it. You know, and we thank you again for listening, and thank you again for support. Now, you guys enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks for listening. Take care.